Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
I was just having a quiet moment daydreaming about the pancakes I'm going to have in about an hour and a half.
You know when you're a pro when you put your headphones the last second.
Is that what I did? How are you this morning?
I was going to do the intro myself.
Oh, you know what? I should put you to work.
I'm doing great, actually. Yeah. Beautiful weather. Unbelievable.
I ran down to get Walter at the front door, and he was just he was basking in the nice sunshine there on the corner of René Levesque and Papineau.
You know what? I was looking at the rest of the forecast for the rest of the week. I said, that's the last chance in a long, long time.
Yeah. That word snow is in the forecast for Tuesday. Light snow, wet snow, because it's a high of 6, but still, it'll be a reminder.
Yes, it is.
Of what's on the way. All right. 514-790-0800 if you want to talk to Walter. Can I throw one at you from the text line
already?
Someone was they got in early, so I said sure. It says, Ken, can you please ask Walter, I have an oil furnace and a 15-year-old heat pump. Should I take advantage of the government grants now? It says, he goes on and says, I have a DT rate with hydro. What is that?
So you have a dual energy rate.
Okay.
Now,
I'll just finish. Yeah. I have a DT rate with hydro now. With a new heat pump and electric furnace, I'll lose my DT rate. Is it worth making the switch? Will I save on the heating cost?
I mean, I have a feeling there's nothing for sure, but I have a feeling that the subvention is going to go on another year or so. So if they want to pass the winter, right now they're really cutting close to do any changes, because it's not going to be an easy switch, in the sense that it's probably going to take a couple of days, the job, and the weather is going to break on a dime. So I would wait for the spring, okay, if they want to have it done. Now, the thing is, if that furnace breaks down, a major component, they would have to change it. So you know what? The new machines are way more efficient energy-wise, and you're going to really be using the furnace anyways. So it is worth it, for sure, and it's a great peace of mind at the same time.
There you go. 514-800 is the text line, but our phone number, if you want to talk directly to Walter and pick his brain about something you need taken care of, call us now at 514-790-0800. Let's head off to Chateauguay. Marge, is that you?
Yes.
Morning.
Good morning.
All right. What would you like to talk to Walter about?
I just want to ask a question.
Yeah.
I want to know where I can buy a sum, like to cover a 24 by 24 for in the garage.
Nelco might have them.
Wait, now what? Where? What is the name?
Nelco.
Nelco.
N-E-L-C-O.
Okay.
Yeah, Nelco might have them. So would probably Duchenne.
How do you spell that one?
Duchesne is
D-U-C-H-E-S-S-E-N-E.
Duchesne, like the French name, French name.
D-E-C, no.
No, I think it's D-E-S-C-H-E-N-E.
That's right.
No one said there was going to be a spelling bee.
D-H-A-M-E.
I'm going to say it one more time slowly, okay, Marge? Here it comes.
Okay, no problem.
Here it comes. D?
Yeah.
E?
Yeah.
No, that's Duchesne. I'm spelling Duchesne.
It's D-E-S.
Yes.
H.
Yes.
E-N-E.
I'll look it up.
D-E-S-H-E-N-E. Yeah. Okay. And both of these are
Wholesalers for plumbing materials. Now, if they're not going to sell you dark, because they usually sell to plumbers.
Okay.
They can direct you to where to go for a retailer in this case. One other thing you might want to do if you have a hard time, because sometimes those covers are a bit off standard, and the fact that what do you have there now?
I have a 24 by 24.
Okay,
the measurement.
But what do you have a cover now?
Yes, but it's soft. Like we need it changed.
So soft because it's wood. It's made out of wood.
No, metal.
Metal. Okay, so it's been rusty.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, the reason being is because you have water evaporations and, you know, it's close to the water. So the metal does rust if you don't paint it on a regular basis.
Like, it's 49 years old, right?
Yeah. So no, I get it. Yeah. I mean, the new ones are plastic, which are great.
Yeah.
If you do run into problems and you want to do a quick thing, what you could do is you could get a piece of plywood, you cut it.
Yeah.
And then you paint... you paint it with an elastomeric type membrane or a liquid membrane, the same type of membrane that we use in showers.
Liquid membrane.
Yeah. So what that does, it makes the plywood waterproof.
Okay.
And the membrane itself acts as the real protection from the water that's evaporating from underneath. So that would be a quick, probably the cheapest fix if you run into problems finding that cover. Yeah, and it will work. It will.
Okay.
You can have it for a long, long, long time.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I'll try that first thing, and probably, and then we'll try to get the paint.
There you
go. Liquid membrane paint.
Yeah, well, liquid membrane. Yeah, it's a liquid membrane you buy. It's a thing you roll in into showers. I mean, all the big hardware stores would have that, and just any piece of plywood, usually 5/8 will be your minimum. So if you step on it, it doesn't collapse. That will fix your problem for a long time.
Okay, well, listen, I thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And have a nice day.
Keep it our secret, Marge. Don't tell anybody else.
Thanks, Marge.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I just Googled it. Your spelling was right. Mine was bad. Deschenes, DESCHENES, a distributor, wholesaler in plumbing, heating, electricity, and fire protection.
I told you I'm always right.
I know. When will I learn? Again, from the text line, if you don't mind. By the way, if you want to talk to Walter live on the radio, 514, just like Marge, 514-790-0800. Call now because the line just freed up. It's from Bob. Is it too late in the season to schedule a roof inspection?
No.
No.
It's not late until you have snow or ice on your roof.
Okay.
Or if it's a rainy day, obviously the roofers are not allowed to go up to the roof. But it is actually encouraged to be done now, just in case you have anything that needs to be done. One of the things actually, when it comes to roofs, that is often ignored, and specifically in flat roofs, are the drains.
Yeah.
Usually, especially like in areas like NDG, you have a lot of mature trees, and now it's the fall, and you have all these leaves flying around. They go on your roof, they block your drain, and the next time you have a big rainfall, you're gonna have a swimming pool on your roof, and it will, start causing you all kind of problems. Where it will really cause you problems is when you open up the drain. And you have a huge amount of water going down that drain at the same time, the drain cannot drain it fast enough. So it backs up in the house. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's very important that, if you run into this problem, you pump the water out and you don't unblock the drain and allow all this water to gush in. So there is a technique about it as well. But now that we are in the right season, if you wish, in the right timing of the season, go up, do the cleaning, and preferably another time in November, because you're going to have, the leaves are not completely out of the trees yet, so you're going to have probably another wave of leaves as well to clean then. And then you're good for the winter.
I have a minute here. He wants to know, should they also be checking for chimney damage? I guess it's part of the checklist, no?
Well, I mean, the roofers, we're going to have to be very careful of that, because roofers are really, they have their blinders on to anything that have to do with the roof. They don't know, maybe they do, but it's not their job. They're a specialized contractor. The word specialized is, there's a, a capital S there, because they only look at what their specialty is. So brickery pointing is something that you have to look at yourself, or you have to ask your roofer while you're up there, can you look at the chimney cap for me? Can you look at this? Because you're not going to go up to the roof yourself necessarily. So yes, if you don't point it out, they won't mention it. It's not part of their specialty.
That's Walter Assey from Renovco. He's here for the full hour. So if you want to talk to him, you want to ask him something, call now at 514-790-0800. We're heading off to Saint Laurent right after the break. It's 9:15.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Yes, on a sunny Saturday morning. Look at that, 9:21 current time. And the temperature, let me just check, Walter. We're doing a full service Home Improvement Show. It's 19 out there.
Nice.
19. Enjoy it.
Oh, sorry, there's a beer.
Let's go back to the phone. And Farhad is on the line from Saint Laurent. Farhad, good morning.
Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Yes.
I had a quotation yesterday for a home backup generator, and the person was insisting on a whole home. I live in Billtown, around one block east of Cavendish, and the cost would be around $20,000+. I want to know whether it's really needed for the whole home, and is it worth it to sit in the backyard $20,000+ for a few times a year that we lose power?
Depends where you live. Well, Saint-Laurent is not as bad, mind you, but here's the thing. Number one, that's what kind of a system are they installing for you?
A Generac standby.
Okay, and what's the size?
He was talking about 22 kilowatt hours.
Okay, so you're really lighting up the whole house.
Yes, that's what he was thinking.
So that might be a bit of an overkill. How are you powering it? Are you powering it with natural gas or propane?
We're propane big tanks, because where we are, there is no natural gas or anything.
So you're going to have propane tanks?
Yes.
Okay. So, and that includes the installation, that includes the electrical, that includes everything, right?
Yes.
All right. Okay. The installation part is not as easy as people might think. Because they have to install a generator panel. They have to pull wires underground to the generator, and at the same time they have to have the propane connection lines. So there is a labor component that, regardless of the size of the generator, that you can get away from. And it's usually about half. So 7,000 to 8,000 of this. I don't know if they kind of dissected the prices for you, labor versus material. Have they?
Everything included. 20, I would say that probably between 20 and 25.
But, and how did they divide the labor part?
He did not say that.
Okay. So usually the way they divide is $7,000 to $8,000 to the labor part. So that leaves you a half as much, maybe about, I would say, anywhere between 8,000 to 12,000 for the generator itself.
Okay.
And that's what the labor, unfortunately, stays the same, give or take, when it comes to the installation part. So the only thing you're going to have control over is the size of your generator.
Okay.
You don't necessarily need that much power. What you the right smart way to do it is you want your freezers, your fridges, your furnace, AC, couple of plugs, couple of lights, and that's it. You don't need necessarily to have light in every room. It's really things that spoil, like fridges, freezers, sump pumps, things that can damage your house, or furnaces and what have you. Everything else, a couple of plugs in the hallway for chargers. That's more than enough.
So you can go down
for half as much power without really compromising any of the necessities in the home.
Okay. Can an automatic backup generator, even if I go down to half of the house, be installed? Because he was insisting if the whole house, it has to be automatic.
It has to be. I mean, it won't make a sense. To be quite frank, it won't make sense for you to go through this whole installation without having an automatic kick-in type of a generator. Because if you're not home and there's a major storm and your sump pump does not work, well, you know what? What's the use of having a generator? You're not going to be able to babysit your house 24/7.
That's right.
If you're at work, if you're on vacation, that's what you want. That's when you really need it as a peace of mind. If you're home, then you don't even need to have that type of a Generac system. You just have a portable generator with an extension cord, and you crank it up and you make your sump pump work. Where you really need it is for extended periods of time, and that's what a propane tank would give you,
okay,
about 3 days' worth of
automatic turn-on can be installed for the half of the house.
Well, because the way they do is they put a what you call a generator panel, okay?
Yeah.
And in that panel, they put fuses, and then you feed from the main panel, and then you choose what you want to channel into that thing.
Okay.
So it's 100% done. You can even do it for 10% of the home.
Okay.
You can even do it only for the furnace in the home and the sump pump, for example.
So at your discretion.
At your discretion. That's right. It's really... You can even choose which plugs you want to work, which ones you don't want to work.
Okay.
Farhad, back in April when we had that major, how long were you out for?
47 hours.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not so bad. There's people that went were without power for 7 days.
Yeah.
Now, but just to kind of put things in perspective for you, the guy is probably pushing you for the whole system because it's easier for him to put everything in that panel, and that's it. Like, it's an automatic thing, and you don't have to pick and choose and what have you. And maybe he's trying to oversell you the power, but... You know, you can, that 20,000 can easily go down to 15,000 if you decrease the power in it. You know, getting a second opinion would not hurt at all.
Does your company do this type of work?
We don't. We could recommend you a couple of names, but we don't particularly do this.
Okay, I have an appointment with Electrica on November 9th.
Okay, that might work. And I'm sure because their background is, are they're electricians. So they will be able to tell you that you could do it, or you could pick and choose whatever you want on the panel.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
All right, Farhad, have a great weekend. Thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. It's 9:28. Some people are weighing into about those covers that we talked about with Marge and Shadegate, mm-hmm, right off the
good
top of the show.
That was a very popular call.
Here's covers cut to order, cheap, from Century Metal in LaSalle. Very fast service. Thank you for that, Tom. There's a nice tip. And what else do I have here from the text line? Dishin et Fils. 514-790-0800. We're going to bring Scott in. He's going to set up his question, then we're going to break for news.
Sure.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Deal? Scott?
Yes, sir.
I have to break in about a minute for news, so just set up your question with Walter, and then we'll come back on the other side. How's that?
Hey, that sounds good. So it's kind of a two-parter, but first parter is, what can the homeowner do legally from A to Z inside their house without breaking any laws or anything like that? Like from A to Z, if I want to gut my house, redo everything, what can I do as the homeowner legally in the home without breaking any labor laws or construction laws or anything like that? Like, do I have to be certified as A, B, or C? And then my second part of the question, how much do you think the moratorium on the TPS by Trudeau is going to actually increase building in Quebec?
Very good. All right, Scott, hang on. We're going to take a little break for news, get you up to date, look at the forecast and a road report as well with Mark Shalhoub. Then we'll come back with more on the Home Improvement Show.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
514-790-0800 is the number to call to talk to Walter here on the Home Improvement Show. Still plenty of time. It's 9:35. We're going to bring Scott back in. Scott, so they had a two-parter when it comes to home repairs. Just how much can you do, I guess, on your own? Was that the thing?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I was asking how much can the homeowner legally do on their own in the home? And then the second part of the question was, Trudeau just recently lifted a new building tax for new residences for all the immigrants coming to Canada. I'm actually a new immigrant. How much do you actually think this moratorium on the tax is going to propulse new building in Quebec?
Okay. They're both actually great questions. So when it comes to doing your own renovations in your own personal home, this kind of have to be divided into two categories. You have the government, which is the Régie des Bâtiments, the CCQ, as far as labor is concerned, but then you have the insurance as a second tier of things to worry about. As far as doing your own thing, if you own your house and you're doing it for your own personal use and you live in the house, there's a lot that you could do on your own without getting in trouble with the government. But at any given moment, if the house is under a company's name or it's being rented out as an income, a home, then there's not much you could do on your own. So you have to do the distinction right away.
Okay.
The reason being is anything that generates income in Quebec have to have unionized laborers, like CCQ carded laborers. So you could potentially get ticketed if an inspector passes by and catch you doing work on your own.
Okay.
Now, if this is your own personal home, then you could do pretty much everything. What you want to try to stay away from the most would be things like plumbing, electrical, and roofing.
Okay.
The reason being is not as much the labor part of things, but as the insurance part. So let's say you have an electrical fire. The first question they're going to ask you is, who did the electrical here? The insurance company, that is. Same thing with plumbing, same thing with roofing, right? Because they want to go in subrogation against whoever caused that damage. And if you say, well, I did it, and you raise your hand, that might get you in a whole world of trouble. So you could do demolition, you could do drywall, you could do anything that really does not cause, could not potentially a big problem of electric fires or arcing or water damage or anything like that.
Okay.
So I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that answers my question wholly, actually. Thank you very much.
No problem. As far as the Trudeau construction incentive for new homes, it's a very we're asked these questions multiple times, and right before the interest hike, unfortunately, on mortgages. And, you know, they wanted to slow down the real estate because it was red hot, was becoming unaffordable. But unfortunately, I find that the government have missed the mark, like not in ways that are unbelievable, because they didn't really attack the real problem. The real problem is lack of buildings, of homes in Quebec and in Canada in general. I mean, I was reading certain numbers, and they say by the year 2035, we will have 3 million home deficit in Canada. Million.
We're already at a couple million home deficit with the amount of immigration to Canada.
That's
like I
right.
said earlier, I'm a new immigrant to Canada. I mean, luckily, my wife and I were able to find our land and build our home. But I mean, I can't imagine being a new immigrant or a refugee here and having to sleep out in the street because there's no homes, there's no shelter.
That's exactly the problem. And instead of kind of enticing developers to build new homes, they increase the interest rate. In my opinion, what that will do, yes, it will slow down the real estate market, which it did, but it will increase the problem many folds in a few years, because right now, if you look at the numbers, we used to build about 60,000 homes in Quebec a year by developers. We're down to 50,000. So that deficit of 3 million that we're talking about is going to only increase drastically in the next few years. So what we're doing really is postponing the problem for the new government after the election to deal with it. And
it's a
band-aid
on a bullet wound, as it were.
That's right. So if I'm, if I'm looking at this and I'm saying, okay, I need to have an answer now and I can't lose the election, let me do this. That would be a quick fix. Yes, but wait a few years and you'll see really where the problem is. So I don't think the PSVQ is going to be anywhere near. That's my personal opinion, mind you, to entice developers to build. There's a lot of different problems with this. Number one, and the most important, is cities need to be a lot more flexible about rezonings of land, so there's more land available for developers to build on. And, it was becoming more and more complicated to deal with cities. So there's problems on the municipal level. Mm. There's problem on the federal level. There's an interest rate problem. So it's like a perfect storm. And if TPS-TVQ might be one way to fix the problem, but it's not going to be enough. Unfortunately, don't forget, our deficit is big. So we need big incentives, and that's not big enough.
Scott, we got to run. I hope that was some help for you, though.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. Have a great day, guys.
Good luck with the home. Linda, good morning.
Good morning.
I've got about 4 minutes for you, Linda. You want to talk to Walter about grout in the shower?
Yeah, I have a problem. The shower was redone about 5 years ago, and the grout at the bottom of the ceramic wall that joins the bottom, the base of the shower, it keeps getting moldy, and we've changed the grout. We've redone the silicone sealant. The last time we did it was like a couple of months ago, and the the mold keeps coming back in the same areas. And now I don't know where to go, what to do, how to find out what the problem is.
Hmm.
Okay, so let's kind of circle back to 5 years ago. When you guys built the shower, do you remember how you built it?
It was done by a contractor. I have two ceramic walls and I have three glass panels.
Okay. Do you remember at all the construction of the shower, how it was done?
In what sense do you mean?
Do you remember if a membrane was installed?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
What kind of a membrane?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Do you remember the color of the membrane?
I don't know if it was like a dark charcoal or a reddish color. I'm trying to remember. I'm not sure.
Okay. So I tell you the most common mistakes that are done in showers is either that the contractor forgets to install a membrane, whether because they don't know enough, which is a problem, or they don't care enough, which is a bigger problem. Or they install membranes inadequately, which is another serious issue. And that will cause you what you call seepage. The weakest point in a shower is where your base meets the wall. That right. junction is where you would get the most amount of water accumulation, and that's where it mostly fails. So, as an example, most contractors, like what we like to use all the time is a Schluter system, because it comes with a Schluter base and Schluter panels. But here's the thing. The guys that use that system have to be Schluter trained and certified. So you want to ask them for their certification before they use it, because often than not, when you don't follow the training, you don't do it well. Mm. So water will leak. What you might be having is water seeping behind those tiles and creating you that mold. And the way you want to know that for sure is you want to put a moisture sensor on that area. And you're going to compare it with a dry standard, which is usually above your shower head.
A moisture sensor.
Yeah. So it's a machine that detects the moisture content in the material up to an inch and a half in depth. And it would give you the exact percentile of the humidity in your material.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What you do is you look at that, and that will give you usually your wet standard, because that's the weakest point in your shower. The driest point is anywhere above the shower head, because it doesn't get water. Uh-huh. So you compare both, and that will give you your answer. If you have seepage, you will have high readings at the bottom, way lower readings at the top.
Okay.
Beside the fact that we have a chart for materials, I'm just giving you something if you wish that is that you could do yourself. I mean, we do have charts that we could tell you what the real, but I mean, I'm not going to go into the
right.
Okay.
The whole thing. But that's what you really would want to know. And 99%, that's where your problem lies. When you clean mold and it comes back, that means it's cavity mold and it's not surface mold. Cavity mold is coming from something that is wet behind the tile, and it's pushing the mold out.
How's that, Linda?
Yeah, and do I buy a? Do they sell the moisture sensors in the hardware store?
They do. Very hard. You have to be very cautious. I'll tell you why. There are the cheaper ones that you buy. Unfortunately, their price, the good ones are very expensive.
Okay.
Yeah. The cheaper ones I've tried, because a client of mine had it, and I put my machine and put their machine,
right,
and the readings were like, didn't make any sense. Okay. The readings from their machine. So what you might end up doing is calling a contractor that have those types of instruments. And that way you don't have to invest in a machine yourself.
Okay.
Yeah,
because the cheaper ones might give you the wrong readings.
Yeah.
And, I've done a few tests on
these. It's hard to find a contractor, though, that just wants to go to somebody's house to just do something like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Linda, we're up against the clock. Okay. Hopefully that helped you out a bit.
What she can do, though, just quickly, is you could buy the cheap ones just to kind of get the, if you want to gauge if there's a problem. And then if there's a problem, you can start going a bit further.
Take it a step further.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good luck, Linda. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome back here. We're in the home stretch. Still time to call if you want to talk to Walter from Renovco at 514-790-0800. I have a, it's a little story, so settle in.
Sure. Always up for a nice story on a Saturday morning.
Put your slippers on. It says, good morning, guys. I want to do a kitchen reno that would involve replacing the tiles in the kitchen with wood. I want to extend the new wood floor to also replace the marble floor in the adjoining entry and the carpets in a small hall. My contractor has suggested, rather than removing the existing tiles, to lay the new wood floor over the existing tiles. He said the wood. He said he would raise the hallway floor by laying down some concrete in order to level it with the kitchen and the entry floor. He would need to shave the doors due to the new height on the flooring of the flooring. I'm in a concrete condo. Does this suggestion sound reasonable, or would it be better to remove the existing ceramic and marble tiles? That's from Molly.
Okay. So thank God for adding that last part about being in a, on a concrete floor condo, because on a regular home, it would have been disastrous. The main question lies on in how they're going to install the wood floors. I can understand the contractor's worry about jackhammering the ceramic from the concrete slab, because that's probably how they installed it. But we have to be careful from a couple of things. Number one, usually you want to check with your condo about the type of membrane you need for the soundproofing. And that's very, very important. Condo boards have a guide that you have to follow. And if you don't, they can literally force you to rip out everything and restart from scratch. So the contractor needs to look at that. They even specify in a lot of cases the type of membrane that needs to be used. Now, if this is going to be a double glued application membrane, you need to glue the membrane on top of the old floors, and then you glue the wood floors on top of the membrane. Mm-hmm. Where I'm going to really have a problem is how you're going to glue the membrane on such a loose or a very smooth surface like ceramics.
Okay.
It won't adhere, so you're going to have issues with that membrane. So what you need to do in this case, either you have to sand the ceramic down to make it more abrasive, or you have to apply a special primer so that the glue can adhere on top. It is doable, but it has to be done this way. The other thing that you might want to ask your contractor is, why is he going with hardwood and not engineered? Okay, because in most cases in condos, they prefer engineered. It's way more stable on concrete.
Right.
It works a lot better with humidity, and it's really made for the glued down application more than hardwood. So these are some questions to ask. A hardwood is not usually made to be glued. That's very important. So I don't understand how he's going to go ahead and do it. Usually when you do hardwood in condos, you put a floating plywood on the concrete, and then you nail the hardwood to the floating concrete to the plywood. In this case, he's mentioning concrete the whole way, so I don't understand what his plan is. But I hope he's not gluing the hardwood, because most hardwood floors are not made to be glued but nailed.
There you go, Molly, from an expert. Some free advice there. Hope
few
you...
red flags.
Yeah?
Few red flags. So I'll be very careful with that, okay? The more I think about it, the more I have some red flags. Okay. Sometimes when you're dealing with a contractor again, you know, it's also sometimes what's easier for them to do, what sometimes is cheaper for them to do. It doesn't mean it's the right way to do it. So do question, do research, do ask, and then you realize when you don't have the right answers, you know, you realize that, like, I'll give you a very small example. I don't know if we have a couple of seconds here.
Yeah, got a minute.
I'll give you a couple of examples. So I had a client that wanted to install a backwater valve, and the plumber suggested the installation to be done on the main and not the branchement. So I said, but that's usually not the way it's done. It's the easier way to do it for as far as plumbing is concerned. The guy just have to do one area.
What?
I said, why don't you ask the plumber? Because maybe they change the code. For me, I'm not a plumber, so challenge him on that. Why don't you ask him? That's what, as far what I know is what I know, but the guy is a master plumber. Maybe something just came up that I'm not aware of.
Yeah.
So his answer to her was, well, you know what? You're right. The rest of Canada allows it to be on the main. The only place that doesn't allow it to be on the main is Quebec. Fine, but we live in Quebec. Mm-hmm. That means you are installing something at a client that could be legal in the rest of Canada, but as far as Quebec is concerned, it's not. So you could get in trouble. Okay? So that's why I'm saying, as a question, sometimes you'd be surprised by the quality of the answer you get back.
Thank you for another great hour.
Always a pleasure.
Walter Assey from Renovco on the Home Improvement Show. Look who's at the door. Look who's knocking. Someone's knocking on the door like the old song. Someone's ringing the bell. It's Lisa Christensen with The Car Show coming up next, right after the news here on CJAD 800.